being needy in sales is one of those things that you may or may not recognize that you're doing when you're going through it, but it's one of the things that will kill deals faster than you can imagine, cause problems for you in the office, and cause problems for the long run.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is an amazing day, and we're going to talk about emotions. Emotions and sales, but emotions and sales from you. And it is entirely possible for you to be needy in the sales process. And neediness comes from quite a few different things. And a lot of times it happens when salespeople are in free fall, meaning that they're not closing deals and there's expectations of them, and they're under a lot of stress. So they start making bad decisions. And the typical route for this is price matching and discounting. And these are the go-to moves when you're a salesperson and when you're in struggling. And this could be caused by a shortened sales presentation. You know, salespeople, when they're struggling, tend to shorten the sales presentation to get to the end of the sale, to close the deal. But in order to close the deal, now they got a price match or they got a discount because the buyer really doesn't know what they're getting. Or because the buyer feels that there's panic, they know that something's wrong, so they get to take advantage of you. This leads to problems after the sale. There are a lot of times where people see that there's the ability to take advantage of a needy salesperson. And after the deal is done, then they want to go back and renegotiate because they don't feel like they were able to get their pound of flesh. They feel like the deal was too easy and they signed too quickly. And this happens more often than what you would think when it comes to sales. You just don't realize where it's coming from. Issues with the buyers and their expectations. You know, a needy salesperson typically does not take the time to explain everything that needs to be done for the buyer and doesn't do a good job of communicating what to expect next and doesn't do a good job of communicating of what's going to happen or if there is a problem, what to do. They're just so happy to get to the end of the sales presentation and get their agreement signed that they run out of the door kicking their feet, you know, and high-fiving everybody. But the buyer really doesn't know what to do next, and so then they get irritated when there is a problem. Being needy in a sales call also leads to an extended period of problems. And if you don't have somebody to work with, if you don't have a coach, or if you don't have a mentor, these problems can linger for a while. They could take a salesperson who's doing pretty good and just drag them into the ground in the space of a couple of weeks or a month. So I wanted to give you the ideas of what neediness looks like inside of a sales presentation. I'm going to start this process for you to self-identify what's going on with starting the conversation with price matching and discounting. And in the only way that I could imagine that somebody may get a hall pass on this is if they are the down and dirty, cheap value leader. And that's the unique selling proposition they have, that we're the cheapest person in town and it's advertised everywhere. But you know what? The other thing is there is a challenge in that. And the challenge is when you tell somebody you're the cheapest and you got the best price, what's going to happen is in their mind, they're going to go, okay, game on, sales guy, game on, sales girl. I got to prove you right or I got to prove you wrong. And so then they go out and they go shopping. Very rarely does starting off a conversation about the best price ever work to your favor. And yes, on a Wednesday on a full moon, there's probably a sales guy or a sales girl out there can pull it off. But I'm basing this off of 10 years of writing with salespeople. The average salesperson, you know, can't have this conversation the right way and work it towards their benefit. There is an ability to be needy with over-talking and talking too much and wrong responses. And sometimes what will happen is salespeople don't realize that they think that they're the show. They think that they're the person who's got to be the entertainment. Now, I will let you know, I was going through a really big struggle one point in my life after a bad breakup, and I did this. I made this mistake. I made the call all about me, and it made my sales calls go so sideways. I wasn't closing deals. It was because I was being overly needy about how much I was communicating, how much I was talking. And I thought, like, you know what? It's the Scott show. And I would show up to sales calls. I am raising my hand right here. You can't see me, but I completely screwed up. This was me 100%. I was super needy. And you're not thinking like, hey, how is that needy? You're not giving the buyer the chance to talk about their problem. You're not asking questions. You're talking. You're just like, blah, 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 blah. And the people would look at me and their eyes would glaze over and I wasn't closing deals. You know, part of this is not having an agenda or not getting to the point. You know, if you really want to be good at closing deals, you know, setting some sort of agenda early on and saying, here's what to expect. Here's my process. Here's how the way that I work, but not in a cheesy way, not in an annoying way. Like anytime, hey, here's what to expect. Here's what you're going to get from me. Like, I'll tell people, you know, you're going to have me come out to train your group of guys or girls. You know, I'm going to arrive in the airport in shorts and t-shirt, but I'll be in front of the room in a suit and tie, or I'm going to arrive at the airport in shorts and a t-shirt and I'll be in slacks and a button up. You know, we go for about an hour, hour and a half, and we take break. You know, like you have to set an agenda of what's going to go on and whatever version that you do it with your buyer in the presentation. Not listening to the buyer. You know, there's plenty of times where me as a consumer, I get asked a question and the salesperson already has in their head, I already know what I'm going to sell this guy. I already know what I'm going to sell this girl. And I'm a bells and whistles dude. Even if I never use the bells and whistles, I like to know that I have options. And, you know, what irritates me is when people make a decision and they don't listen to the answers that I give. Like, I'm going to get a new big screen TV. I want an 82 inch TV right now. And, you know, for me, because I'm going to be hooking it up to technology, I have some very specific requirements of things that I want. And I went and looked at a TV and I was asking questions about like, hey, does it have this feature? And the guy just kind of overtalked me and showed me the cheapest TV. And he was like, this is the one that I would get. And I said, yeah, okay, but can it do what I need it to do? He goes, I don't know. I didn't hear what you had to say. He wasn't listening. He wasn't listening at all. And buyers, when they're like, you're not listening to me, they get turned off. And you have, I want to say about a 2 to 5 minute window before someone just completely loses it and says, all right, what do we got to do to get you out of here? Can you email me? Can you send me information? And when I say 2 to 5 minutes, I mean like added up through the whole entire presentation. I mean, at one point, there is a point in every sales presentation where you lose a buyer. And one of them is where buyers just get irritated because you are not listening. And it could happen early on in the process. It could happen later in the process, or it could be an aggregate of all the problem throughout the entire sales call of the person. I don't know why I don't like this sales guy. I don't know why I don't like this sales girl. But what it comes down to is it's because you're not listening to them. When it comes to sales, I definitely have some beliefs about old school sales and how they hurt people. And one of the things of always be closing, always be closing. You always have to be closing. You know, this is an old belief, and this does create some challenges because you will find that when you're constantly closing, it's like a 19-year-old guy who's going out with a girl for, you know, the first time with a serious relationship. And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And at some point you're like, oh, come on, please stop. Please stop. And in my mind, there's no confidence in always be closing because what it means is you're scared that buyer is going to bounce out. You're scared that buyer is going to be freaked out about, you know, your product, your service. And if you're constantly closing, it shows that you have a weakness. It shows that there's a problem there. And it's not conversational. You know, sales is entirely conversational. And you know what a conversation feels like when I'm just having one with you, but you also know when there's a motive. And the buyer already knows that there's going to be a closing question at the end. The buyer already knows that you're going to ask for the business. And it's almost like you're reinforcing every chance that you get. I'm going to ask you for the sale. I'm going to ask you for the sale. I'm going to ask you for the sale. It's like the same thing as that 19-year-old guy going out with a girl for the first time with a serious relationship. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And there's a point where the girl's like, I'm going to go find a guy who doesn't ask me this. And buyers do the same thing. They say, I'm going to go find me a salesperson that isn't this needy. Afraid to walk away. there are plenty of salespeople who they need a deal. They have to have the deal. And because they need the deal and they have to have the deal, they're willing to be abused. And I could think of a couple of instances where I had to, you know, be very stern with people who were potentially clients and say, hey, look, you know, this isn't going to work. I'm about to walk. I'm going to take my marbles and I'm going to go home. So you got some choices. Either, you know, help me out with the situation or, you know, find somebody else to do it. And you have to be elegant about the way that you say this. If you let your emotions get to you, then it's going to be a problem. And then you have to also remember that if you reject somebody before they reject you, there's typical anger. And for the times that I walked from buyers, I could think of one time where, like, in the early 2010s, 2011s, 2010, because it was the last year that I was a full-time sales guy. This person had a problem with me walking from the sale and saying, I'm not going to do business with you. So this person went online to every review site, to every social media site, and wrote a bad review about me. And it was because I rejected this person first. You know, one of the things that's really annoying in old school training is always answering a question with a question. And once again, sales is conversational, so people know what a normal conversation feels like. And I've got five brothers and sisters. I've got two brothers and three sisters. So my youngest brother, he likes to play the repeater game. He likes to, anything that I say, he says, even in his 40s, right? Even in his 40s, he still does this. He still plays the repeater game. He still has these conversations. And, you know, after a while, it gets annoying because it's not normal conversation. It's what a three-year-old would do. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking clarifying questions. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need to understand where you're coming from with this. But the constant, like, reframe, like dealing with a politician, like watch any politician on the news, and it doesn't matter the political parties, doesn't matter the country. You know, they always take, it's not this, it's that. Well, what you're really saying is this. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel genuine, and it causes a lot of problems. Begging for the sale. You know, if you need a sale and you are super needy and you're begging for the sale, be ready to be taken advantage of most of the time. Occasionally you're with a good-hearted person and they understand your situation. But if you're begging for the sale, you are going to give up terms. You're going to give up money. You're going to give up discounts. You're going to give up everything possible to close that deal because you're not thinking. Remember, money is emotional. And if you need money and you're begging for money, you're super emotional about it. And it's going to be a huge problem. Anytime that I've ever seen a salesperson beg for a deal, it's never, ever, ever, ever worked out to their favor. Part of this is kind of massive discounts over the top. And, you know, let's say that you sell a $10,000 product and you say, okay, buyer, for you buying the product tonight at $6,000, the buyer's like, whoa, they're not going to calculate 40% off. They're not going to go, you just gave me a 40% discount. They're going to go, wait a minute. The price was 10 grand and now it's 6 grand. What's wrong here? The price isn't real. You know, my mom and dad in the early 2000s, they lived in a horse community. So, you know, it was one of the communities where they had riding trails in between. And it was a nice part of town. And my dad was gone and my mom wanted to get some overhangs put in the backyard. And a guy showed up and he gave her a price of like $25,000. And by the time that he got to the garage, he was down to $12,500. And my mom was like, whoa, wait a minute. You're at half the price in the space of 45 seconds. You know, your price was never real. You were just giving me that price because of the neighborhood that I live in. And I always think of that every time that I'm sitting with somebody, you know, if there is a discount, there's got to be a way that you work out the percentages and the way that you work the deal to make it work for you. After the presentation, too much follow-up. Now, I am a huge fan of follow-up. I am a huge fan of making phone calls, text messages, emails. But every hour on the hour or five times a day, there's a point where it's like, okay, I get it. You want something to be done. I get it. You need something to be done. But the follow-up process, something that's like constantly reminding, like, hey, you got paperwork you got to sign. Hey, you got paperwork you got to sign. Hey, you got paperwork you got to sign. I'm like, I didn't forget about it. You know, I got a million other things going on and I'll get to it. But over the top follow-up, I would put in the form of neediness. Now, don't get me wrong. Once again, follow-up is extremely important when done right. Now, I'm going to add a different section. I'm going to put neediness in the office. And one of those things is getting other people to constantly do your work, right? If you're a salesperson, there's a certain amount of things that you get paid for. And if you're constantly trying to pawn them off on other people, that is a form of neediness. It is a form of, hey, look at me. I think I'm special. Great. You're a sales guy. You're a sales girl. You're a closer. You know, to an extent, you are special, but like not too special where somebody else has got to do your paperwork unless that's defined in the office. Complaining about normal circumstances. You know that there's normal hours of operation. You know that there's normal issues that happen, and complaining about those things just proves maybe you're not the right guy. Maybe you're not the right girl. And then last on this list is constantly complaining to management about problems that really can't be changed. You know, every industry has pet peeves. Every industry has problems, but you also have to work within the construct of the rules that are out there. And if every day you're on the phone calling and complaining to a manager, if you're on the phone every day calling and complaining to other salespeople, it is a huge form of neediness. And, you know, at some point the company is going to look and go, that guy's dragging everybody down or that girl's dragging everybody down. Maybe it's time to relieve them of their position.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.